Now today we're going to look at the latter part of Acts chapter 20, commencing our study at verse 17 and going on to the end of the chapter. Here we have the record of Paul's farewell message to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Also, you'll take note down through this passage the mention made of tears. It's very interesting what is said about tears. But now here is Paul's farewell message. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Now I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that particular portion of the Holy Scriptures. Now it's a very important section because it brings before us some very strange and yet important biblical truths. The first thing I draw your attention to is that authority has to be acknowledged. Paul had a message for those at Ephesus. Now remember, he had spent nearly 3 years in that city. Through his efforts, that church was established, and it became a center for evangelistic work throughout the whole valley, and they were reaching out to other cities. It was a very important church in that part of the world, and Paul had spent a lot of time there teaching them. So therefore, he's going to give, as it were, his final word of warning. It was his farewell message. But it was impossible for him to get up into Ephesus, and so from Miletus he sends a messenger, and he asks the elders of the church to come down. This is the first thing you take note of. Authority is acknowledged. Paul, being an apostle, acknowledged that the church was under the guidance there and the authority of the elders. That is, humanly speaking. Behind the scenes, of course, we must always acknowledge this, that it's the Holy Spirit that is really guiding, but the Holy Spirit guides through these people. So there is the acknowledging of the elders as being in a certain measure responsible for the conduct or the guidance of the assembly in Ephesus. But at the same time, we must take note of this, that when the message was sent to Ephesus and the elders received the message, they also acknowledged the authority of Paul as an apostle. You see, so you add those two things together. Paul acknowledged the authority of the elders, and they acknowledged the authority of the apostle. Now, if we're going to make an application of that great principle to ourselves today, it simply means this, that in every local church, those who are in fellowship in that local church should be prepared to acknowledge those who are in the place of leadership. Remember this, where everybody wants to lead, nobody wants to follow. Where everybody wants to teach, nobody wants to learn. And that would lead to a kind of chaotic experience or atmosphere in a church. So therefore, we must acknowledge this, that rule in the church is vested in these people who are called elders. Later on, you'll find this in the same passage. He tells us this, that they are overseers. These elders are called overseers, and their responsibility is to feed the church. We'll learn that later on. However, at this point, we'll notice this, that elders are in the place of rule or authority or giving leadership or guidance in the church. I want you to notice again, he does not say here that he called for the elder. You see, rule in a church is not vested in one man. This is one point where many local churches have made a grave mistake. They have put authority into the hands of one man, and they will designate that man with some kind of title, a title perhaps that is not due to have, a title that is not given them in the Word of God. It's a man-made title. And so they give him the place of authority and the place of rule in that local group, which perhaps, if investigated, you'd find it is unscriptural. Now, elders are always referred to in the plural, and so therefore there's more than one man. Again, it tells us this very plainly, that a local church is not a democracy. Now get that very clear in your mind. A lot of people think that a local church is a place where every so-called member has a voice and everyone has a vote. And when something is to be decided, you simply call a church meeting and put the matter before them, and you take a vote and you go according to majority rule. That also, my friend, is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. It's perfectly true the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, but there are those who have matured more than others, and so therefore, when you come to this particular passage, comparing it with others, you discover this, that leadership in a local church is vested in the elders, and these elders, we must learn from this verse, are men who acknowledge apostolic authority. That is, how could a man possibly be an elder, work as an elder, be acknowledged as an elder, if that man refuses to acknowledge the authority of the writings of the apostles. We don't have the apostles with us today in person, but we have the writings of the apostles. And every man who is to take leadership in any local church should be a man who is prepared to acknowledge the authority of the Word of God, acknowledge the authority of these doctrinal epistles in the New Testament written by the apostles, giving directions as to how the local church should be governed. So we have authority acknowledged. Then Paul begins to review the past. In reviewing the past, he sets before us things that tell us of the character of the man himself and the character of his ministry. Here is what he says: "You know how I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with," now watch the three things, "humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations." Here was a man then who served them with the mark of lowliness, humility of mind. You know, Paul didn't pat himself on the back or beat his chest and say, "Listen to me, I am the apostle." No, he didn't act like that at all. The apostle Paul was a man who was serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Now that should be something that should characterize every one of us. After all, there's none of us has anything to boast about at all. Why should we ever try to boast in ourselves? So many men want to boast as to what they have accomplished. Some want to boast in their learning. They want to boast as to how many years they spent in seminary or in college and the amount of letters they've got to their names. My friend, may God forbid that any of us should ever try to boast about ourselves. The fact of the matter is, he is the great Apostle Paul. He says, "When I was amongst you, you know that I served the Lord with all humility of mind." Paul refers to himself often as a bond servant. Humility. Lowliness. Then there was love. He says, "and with many tears." Now, I mentioned to you that in this particular section, mention is made of tears and weeping. Now, it's not a childish thing to shed tears. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, shed tears. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, that is, over the people. He wept also with Mary and Martha in the time of their bereavement when their brother had died. And it seems obvious that he also shed tears when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now then, if it was right for the Lord to shed tears, these tears was an expression of the inward love that he had. Now here's Paul himself. He sheds tears. He said, "When I was preaching to you, I wept." And perhaps he wept in private when he was praying. At least he was a man whose ministry was characterized by love. He had love for the people amongst whom he was working. And then there was long suffering. He said, "And temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." There were enemies around him. There were those that were seeking to injure him. And so while he was serving the Lord in Ephesus, he had long suffering. Note these three things then of the character of the man: marked by lowliness, marked by love, marked by long suffering. But now notice the character of his ministry. He says, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Now notice three things here about his ministry. First of all, it was characterized by being profitable. He didn't hold back anything that was profitable. Now, you know, a thing may be profitable, but it's not always palatable. You know, sometimes a preacher has got to preach things that people don't like. But nevertheless, he didn't try to be popular. Being profitable in his ministry perhaps didn't make him popular. You know, there's so many people today who want to be popular. And to make themselves popular, they'll hold back certain truths because they know that if they spoke these things, it might somewhat stir up certain members of the congregation. But Paul spoke out the things that were profitable. He didn't hold them back for the sake of being popular. And so today, it's the prerogative of every minister of the word not to avoid things that might upset people, but to speak the truth, because these things in the end will prove to be profitable. Some folks will hold back the truth because they don't want their audience to know the real truth. But not so with Paul. His ministry was marked then by that which was profitable. And then there's two other aspects of it. He taught them publicly and then from house to house. That is, he spoke publicly in his ministry when a congregation gathered together, but he was not above sitting in a home and perhaps speaking to one or two or every member of the family. And so he could go privately into the home and give his ministry there. You know, some people will not preach unless they've got a huge audience. They want a guarantee of how many will be in the audience. But you know, when you go through the Word of God, you discover that some great men of God were prepared to go and preach to one person in their audience. You want to prove that, go back to chapter 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll find that Philip was led way down to the road that led down to the wilderness, and there he had to speak to one man traveling in the chariot. Now, if you take those three things characterizing his ministry, it was profitable, it was public, it was private. But add them all together, and here is the essence of what he preached. He preached something that was positive. He preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether he was preaching publicly or preaching privately, whether to Jews or to Gentiles, here was the essence of his preaching. There was a need for repentance. Now, whenever you preach repentance, of course, basically you must remind the people of their sin. And you know, that's not very popular today. It's not a popular thing to speak about sin. But if there's to be repentance, it must be repentance because of sin. And then there's to be the exercise of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, as he views the future, and he's looking forward, he said, I go. You see, he had come to them first of all, and now he's saying, I go. And as he's going, he's viewing the future. Now, it was Paul's desire to finish his course and to fulfill his ministry. Now, in so doing, if he's going to fulfill his ministry, I would like to ask every listener today, because I believe many of my listeners are Christians who study their Bible and perhaps have heard things said about this great preacher, the Apostle Paul, that are not true. I would like to ask you this. Did Paul finish the course and complete his ministry? He said that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He's going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He knows that when he gets there, bonds and afflictions are going to abide him. But he says, I must, as it were, finish my course and complete my ministry. At the end of his life, just before he left his scene, he wrote a letter. And in that letter he said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That being so, I'm one of those that believes that Paul did finish his course. He didn't go wrong. He didn't leave the beaten path. He was led of the Holy Spirit and was a man who went on in the course that was set before him. While some folks think and said that he was doing the wrong thing, the fact is, he views the future and he goes ahead and he finishes his course and he fulfilled his ministry. He also affirms his fidelity. He affirms that in his ministry he has been a good watchman, blowing the trumpet and warning the people. That's one of the things that a good watchman must do. What's the good of being on the watch and you see the enemy approach and you fail to blow the trumpet? If you don't give the warning sound, then the blood of the people will be upon your shoulders. But if you blow the trumpet and give the warning sound, and they refuse to listen to the warning, then the blood is on their own shoulders. And so he says, he's free from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He says, I held back nothing, it was profitable. Now he says positively, I have declared unto you all the counsel of God. At that stage then, he gives a charge and a warning. It's take heed and feed the flock. Now you see, first of all, they have to take heed unto themselves. He's speaking now to these elders, the men who are giving leadership in the church at Ephesus. They have to take heed, therefore, to themselves. No matter how old we are or how well trained and taught we may be, there's always a need for us to take heed first to ourselves. And then after taking heed to ourselves, we take heed to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. They weren't made overseers, you know, by the vote of the congregation. They weren't voted into that office at all. In fact, it's not an office, really. It's a work. And it's the Holy Spirit that made them overseers. The congregation only acknowledged them. The congregation didn't make them anything. The Holy Spirit made them overseers, and the congregation acknowledges them for what they are. Over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and their responsibility is to feed the church of God. Now you know the church of God is not the building of stone and lime. It's referring here to the people who make up the local congregation. And they've got to be fed. Now that word feed is the idea of shepherding. They've got to shepherd the sheep. Now, which he has purchased with his own blood. Here's the charge and the warning. Take heed and feed the flock. That is to give them food convenient, feed them, and then guard them from the dangerous wolves from without. Guard them from the divisive teachers that will come from within. And so they had their duty set before them. And he tells them here what they've got to do. And then he gives the commendation and the example. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice, Paul did not commend them to some successor, but he commended them to the word of God. And he submitted to them his own example as worthy of imitation. You know, there have been times when missionaries have gone into foreign countries. They've done a work for God and souls have been saved. But the time has come when these missionaries have been forced to leave the foreign soil. Now, what can they do at a time like that? Simply this. They can leave the converts with the word of God. Commend them to that word. Ask them to read the word and study the word. And what better advice can we give to any people today? And then the apostle gave his own testimony. He had lived amongst them. He says, you know how I behaved well amongst you? I didn't covet any man's goods. But you notice what I did? Well, the way I lived before you, I lived my Christianity, and I commend that to you. Then there is the concluding scene. The man who had shed tears when he taught the believers is the man for whom the Christians shed tears as he left them for the last time.